But if you can turn with me then in God's word to Luke chapter 1, I'll just read really verses 57 to 56 or to 63. But really, the whole passage that we will look at is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, verses 24 and 25, verses 39 to 44, and verses 57 through 63. So those are the passages that we will be looking at this morning as we think about this lady called Elizabeth. But I'll just read verse 57 down to verse 63. The word of God says, "Now Elizabeth's full age came, that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son, and her neighbours and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, that they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, Is there none of thy kindred that is called by his name? And they made signs to his father, how he would have called, would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. With God's word open before us, we'll just unite together in prayer. We'll still our hearts at the throne of grace. We'll seek the Lord, and you pray that the Lord will have a word for you. I know there's the presentation after. I know the young people will be singing after, but you pray that God will have a word for your heart just now. Father in heaven, we're so glad as we come even to this very occasion. It is thy day. And Father, we pray, O God, and thank thee thou hast given us even this time, Lord, to bless thee for raising up even mothers. And Father, we thank thee for those, O God, who've been able to be here this day. And we pray, O God, thou wilt bless, thou wilt undertake, and thou wilt give help. We pray, O God, as thy word goes forth, may we have much cause to rejoice even this day. Come, speak to hearts. Lord, thou dost know each and every heart. We thank thee, O God, before thee there are no pretenders, because, O God, thou dost know what is in man. And therefore, Lord, we pray this day that thou wilt search the heart by thy Spirit. And Father, we pray if there be any that is not saved, Lord, save, O God, we pray. And Lord, we pray for thy people, that may we rejoice in thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, introduces a husband and a wife named Zacharias and Elizabeth. However, for this purpose on Mother's Day, I only want to focus upon Elizabeth. Elizabeth was from the tribe in Israel known as the tribe of Levi. And that's interesting because we're going through the life of Joseph, and we've seen how the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes, have all been spared by the famine. It was from this tribe of Levi that the priests came through. And for that reason, Elizabeth is of the daughters of Aaron. You read that in verses 5 through 7. And though Elizabeth had many religious privileges, yet these privileges did not save her. They only gave her advantages of learning the gospel. But Elizabeth, like all men and women, are by nature unrighteous. For there's none righteous, no, not one. And Elizabeth needed to put her faith and trust in the promised Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work that he would accomplish in dying for sinners to pay the debt of sin, to pardon sinners, and provide for them a perfect righteousness that God accepts. You see, the best that we can ever do is but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. And therefore, to find acceptance with God, it must be on God's terms and by a righteousness that God accepts. And God does not accept your righteousness that you think you perform. Rather, he only accepts the righteousness of his beloved Son. And therefore, we pray this day that you who are not saved will be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you too having all advantages of hearing the gospel, will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once saved by the Lord, Elizabeth then walked in the commandments of the Lord, and she was filled by the Spirit of God. And there's many wonderful things we could say about Elizabeth in these opening words. In fact, we'll maybe visit her on another occasion. I did have an outline of her being saved, sanctified, Spirit-filled, and many more. But we'll visit that outline on another occasion. Today we want to focus more upon Elizabeth as a mother. But may I just say, maybe there's one here, and you've been born into a Christian home. Or maybe you've been brought up in a church that preaches the gospel. And you've been brought up with all those privileges, those advantages of hearing that Jesus saves, that he forgives all sin, and that he gives eternal life and secures heaven for all who trust in him. But that is all it is, privileges and advantages of hearing the gospel, unless its truth is applied to your heart. Otherwise, you remain lost in sin, lost in religious bondage and vain superstition, the traditions of men. What you need is the saving grace of God. What you need is the gospel applied to your heart for the saving of your soul. And so as we come today, what is known as Mother's Day, I'm glad there's hope for you to receive the greatest gift ever purchased, and the greatest gift ever to be received, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And on this Mother's Day, I want, with the Lord's help, to preach upon Elizabeth's favor, acknowledgement, rejoicing, and obedience to the Lord regarding her child's birth. Notice, first of all, Elizabeth's favor from the Lord to bear her child. We read in reference to both Zacharias and Elizabeth in verse 7. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both stricken in years. To have a child or children in the Bible is described as fruit bearing, or the fruit of the womb, as described in Psalm 127 verse 3, or Luke chapter 1 verse 42. And therefore, if to have a child is the fruit of the womb, to be fruitful, therefore to be barren is to be unfruitful, which is the effects of the fall. Because God created male and female in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful, to multiply and replenish the earth. And so here is the effects of the fall of sin. No doubt from the time of their marriage union, Elizabeth desired to be a mother, as was the case of Sarah, as the case of Hannah, and the case of Rachel. But as the years rolled on, it seemed impossible to be fruitful in childbearing because they are stricken in years. But here we are at this time. Elizabeth was barren. She had no child. In fact, in the Bible times, it was a reproach for a woman to be barren, because to be barren in Bible times was a mark of disgrace, a mark of great shame. And that's why Elizabeth described her barrenness in verse 25 as "my reproach among men." The phrase "among men" is the general term to include both men and both women. And Elizabeth's barrenness was due to many reasons, and I'll just give some before you, but the first one does not apply to Elizabeth, or let me put it like this, the reasons why Elizabeth felt her barrenness was a reproach among men and women. As I said, the first does not apply to Elizabeth. From Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, there was the promise of the Savior, the promised Redeemer, who would come through the seed of the woman. And until Messiah the promised Saviour was born. Every woman had the hope that they would be the one blessed, the one chosen to give birth to Messiah. And therefore, for a woman to be barren was a reproach, a disgrace to her among men and women, because she was not the one chosen to give birth to Messiah. However, as we said, this does not apply to Elizabeth, because we learn that the Old Testament prophesied that Christ would be born through the seed line or the family line of Judah, the house of David, the line of kings. Whereas Elizabeth came from the tribe of Levi, the house of Aaron, the line of the priests. And so that there ruled her out of giving birth to Messiah. And therefore she feels her reproach, because that's what this word means. It means to feel shame, means disgrace, and it is among men. Remember as well in 1 Samuel chapter 1, that's how Hannah felt when she was barren. Remember there was another woman called Peninnah who had many children, and Hannah had no children. And because of her barrenness, Peninnah was her adversary, and she provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut her womb. And therefore, because Hannah had no child and was barren, and Peninnah had many sons and daughters, Peninnah then came to be this adversary, to resist, to mock, to reproach Hannah. And that's how Elizabeth feels at this present stage. Reproach, disgrace, shame. But then the Lord intervenes in a wonderful way, and he favours Elizabeth, because the Lord delivered his message by the angel, the messenger Gabriel, in verse 19. And that message was given to Zacharias in verse 13. Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And there's a wonderful lesson there. God hears and God answers prayer. And what a thrill that is when you have men and women coming together in marriage and praying even for a child. And when God grants that prayer, what a wonderful joy it is to give thanks to the Lord. Verse 24, Elizabeth conceived. Verse 25, notice her words. The Lord hath dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men, to take away my shame, my disgrace among men. The words he looked on me are the words that mean to look with favour, to regard with favour. And so the Lord, in opening Elizabeth's womb and giving her a child, was due to his divine favour and his will. He looked upon her with favour. He regarded her. Again, the same thought in verse 28 with regards to Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favoured. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And we know Mary was chosen to be that lady where Christ would be born. And it's always good to note, it's blessed art thou among women, not above women. And so the Bible nowhere speaks of worship to Mary. The Bible nowhere speaks of prayer to Mary. And so we must put that out of our mind. The Bible is not about Mary. The Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary herself was a sinner saved by grace. But like Elizabeth, Mary was favoured to bear a child. The Lord looked upon her with favour. You see, any woman who is blessed with a child is due to the favour and sovereign pleasure of God upon the womb. And this favour of childbearing is not salvation. Rather, it's God's goodness generally that is given both to the saved and the unsaved woman. that he blesses them to bear children. The same principle is just as it rains upon the just and the unjust. So when God blesses the woman's womb and looks upon her in favour, it is God's goodness in blessing with childbearing. Notice Elizabeth's words. He looked on me to take away my reproach among men. The Lord was the one who took away my reproach, my shame. He looked upon me with favour. This favour is described in verse 58 by Elizabeth's neighbours and her cousins, how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. And again, that word mercy is the word meaning favour, goodness, kindness. And so they acknowledged the Lord's goodness upon Elizabeth, the Lord's favour upon her. And the point I'm making is this. The fruit of the womb is a mercy from God. And any woman who is blessed to have a child, you've been blessed due to God's goodness and God's kindness. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5, where it refers to Hannah, the Lord hath shut up her womb. The Lord closed Hannah's womb. We know obviously after the Lord opened it again, but I'm just using the phraseology. The Lord has shut up her womb. But then you look in Luke chapter 1, verse 25 of Elizabeth. The Lord hath dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach from among men. The whole point is the Lord opens or closes the womb. It's his sovereign right to give or withhold a child. And the very fact any woman is blessed to conceive, blessed to have a child in the womb, is due to God's favour, mercy, goodness, and kindness. I make this point to say this, dear mother. I want you to know that you are blessed with a child or children because the Lord has looked upon you with favour. He looked upon you to bless you with a child, to take away any reproach. And that is amazing because child or children are a gift from the Lord. And you've been favoured to carry a gift in your womb. God has entrusted you with a life. And yes, the child is an individual, special to you. But in the order of creation, God favoured the female, not the male, to bear a child. This favour was not given to the male. And therefore, dear female, dear mother, why would you want to reverse the natural order, though it can't be? Why would you want to give up such a God-given honour? God favoured the woman from creation to bear a child in her womb. This is a special position that was given to God at creation when he made both the male and the female with distinct features, gifts, and purposes. And therefore, away with these rallies, these protests, these organizations, these rights movements, these organizations that rebel against God, despising his goodness and deceiving females into thinking they are worthless, misgendered, and they need to change their identity. Rather, learn from the Bible. There is an honour given to women to bear children, and it's given by God. And so when it comes to women and childbearing, God looks upon you with favour. Don't give it up to the devil. Don't give it up to the things of this world, but rather come before Almighty God. Come before your Creator and thank him this day that he has blessed you with a child or children. Come before him this day and thank him for his mercy. And there may be many today who are not parents in that sense, and they're not maybe like Elizabeth, but you too have been blessed to care and love for others, and God has blessed you in that ministry. Elizabeth's favor before the Lord to bear her child. God has looked upon her. God has looked upon you, dear mother, with favor to bear a child. Why is that important? Because notice, secondly, Elizabeth's acknowledgement before the Lord of the life of her child. Elizabeth's acknowledgement before the Lord for the life of her child. It's interesting to note, if you read the times recorded until her baby boy is born, you follow along with me. Now, I'm not a mathematician by any means, but you can do all the calculations in your head as you look upon the Bible. Verse 24, you read it with me. Look, Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. So we have there 5 months. We all agreed, 5 months. Then the messenger, in conversation with Mary, we learn in verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." And so here we have now the sixth month. Now Mary, who is the woman chosen to give birth to Christ, the promised Saviour, and goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. We learn in verse 56, "And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." So we have the fifth month, the sixth month, and then if you add three, that is 9 months. Then we learn as well in verse 57 that Elizabeth has carried the son in her womb for 9 months. And when it came to her full time, she should be delivered, and she brought forth her son. When Mary and Elizabeth met, they were both with child. And Mary begins to tell her cousin Elizabeth the news that she is with child, but not just any child. And as verse 43 states, Elizabeth said to Mary, "That the mother of my Lord should come to me." As Elizabeth listens to Mary's salutation, Mary's song, the praise that she has, Elizabeth knows that the baby in Mary's womb is not just any baby, but it's the Saviour. It's the Lord. It's the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has come to visit his people with redemption. But when, here's what I want to get. When Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, notice verse 41, the babe leaped in her womb. Verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Now, I say all that to say this. Throughout the whole 9 months, and until the baby is born, upon hearing the news of Christ, the baby leaped in the womb. And therefore, in Elizabeth talking about the child in Mary's womb, and also acknowledging that the babe has leaped in my womb, jumped for joy, Elizabeth acknowledges before the Lord that there is life, precious life in her womb. The babe leaped with joy. Not the thing in my womb. Not the mistake in my womb. Not something that shouldn't be there. But rather the babe leaped in my womb for joy. There was no thought of this mother of murdering the child, which is described today by the, or disguised by the term abortion, or the woman's rights campaign. Rather, Elizabeth acknowledges there is movement. There's joy. acknowledgement of life. The Lord has given me this child, my child. I was barren, but the Lord's dealt with me. He's taken away my reproach, and he's given me a child in my womb. And it leaped, it moved, there's joy. It's from the Lord. And Elizabeth goes right through with the birth of her child. Therefore, dear mother, God has not only favored you in giving you a child, but he's given you precious life in your womb. Every sign of growth, every movement, every leap, every heartbeat, every scan, it acknowledges precious life, a gift from God in your womb. Therefore, you ought to treat that child as that gift from the Lord. I don't understand. I tell you, when Joshua was born, our firstborn, I remember we went to the hospital. And of course, your first child, you're panicking and all the rest, you're going up there. And as soon as we get to the hospital, there's these pregnant women outside the hospital. Oh, it's here. Blowing cigarettes and all the rest. And really messing themselves up. And I tell you this here. Whenever Joshua was born in the hospital, see those people who were outside smoking their brains out. Their babies really suffered during that time. It's a gift from the Lord in the womb. And therefore ought to be treated with honor from the Lord. Because Psalm 127 verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You've been blessed with a gift. Children, you honor your mum. You obey her as God said. You acknowledge her in her life because she acknowledged you in the womb. You honor your mum. You love your mum. You respect your mum. You treat your mum with kindness, with goodness, with love because your mum has done a lot for you. Your mum has acknowledged life in the womb. And so here we have Elizabeth, barren. But God has favored her with a child that she acknowledges, leaps with joy. There's a child in my womb. That's completely different from today, where people say, oh no, I have a child in my womb. Where can I go to get rid of it? A complete difference than that. Therefore, acknowledge before God the gift given. But notice thirdly, Elizabeth rejoicing by the Lord to deliver her child. Verses 57 and 58. Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. So the birth of Elizabeth's son, notice, brought rejoicing. Here you have the neighbors and the cousins. They all come round and they are rejoicing with her. They rejoice with Elizabeth that the Lord has favored her with a child, a son, a male. They rejoice with Elizabeth that the Lord has given safe delivery of mother and child. They rejoice with Elizabeth, with the Lord, that he has done great things for her. Notice, this rejoicing is because of the Lord. That's why when we have, or we find out that there's a mother expected in the church with child, we rejoice. And when that child is born and we have the dedication, we make that statement, we're here to give thanks to Almighty God for safe deliverance. We come to rejoice. And they were rejoicing at the birth of this child. And you know, anybody who's had a child or been there, there's rejoicing. People gather around and they're just overthrilled. And there's that rejoicing in the Lord to give thanks. There was no disappointment. There was no shock. There was no, oh no, what are we going to do now? Rather, there was rejoicing. And notice, there was no confusion. She brought forth a son. She didn't say, well, let's just see what he'll become and let him choose himself. Rather, thou shalt call his name John. You will have a son. So none of this nonsense of let the child choose or you can decide yourself. There's no confusion. Rather, there's rejoicing in God's order of creation. Stick to the Bible. That's what we're simply saying. John was born by the Lord's mercy. The tale of God's mercy to sinners. He was the forerunner of Christ. He went to prepare the way. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ's birth, not only John's birth, brought rejoicing, but the one who John's birth pointed to brought rejoicing, because Christ is the good tidings of great joy, and his birth into this world brought the good news of the gospel. There's a Savior from all sin. There's a Savior to save your soul. And therefore, pray for your son. Pray for your child. Elizabeth and Zachariah, they had to, train their child up in the ways of God, because God's hand was upon them. Train your children up in the ways of the Lord. There was rejoicing at this birth. But notice, lastly, Elizabeth's obedience to the Lord, to the name of her child. Now, this is certainly a hot topic when it comes to the birth of babies, including the neighbours and the cousins rejoicing with Elizabeth at the birth of her son. And after his circumcision on the eighth day, notice verse 59. This is the cousins coming and the neighbours, this is family coming around rejoicing. They called him Zacharias after his father. And certainly that's a great honour for a father to have their son named after them, or to have a child to find out that they've been named after their father. They called him Zacharias after his father. Elizabeth didn't even get a shot in. Just, oh, Zacharias, what a wonderful name. However, verse 6, his mother answered, not so. He shall be called John. And the words not so in the original Greek are strong words. They're words spoken with force. They mean not at all. Indeed not. You may even say today, I don't think so. You see, Elizabeth knew his name was to be called John, because that's the name that was given to Zacharias, given by God at the end of verse 13. Thou shalt call his name John. And so that message has been given to Elizabeth. However, the surrounding group of family and friends, they're not content with the name John. They don't want the name John. They want the name Zacharias. And they begin to give their reasons. Verse 61, they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. So he should be called Zacharias, not John. And maybe you've been there. You have given birth to your child, son, daughter, whatever it may be, whoever you want to apply this to your situation, and you have maybe chosen a name. But you have family. You have friends. Well, what are you going to call the child? Well, I think, well, what about this name? Oh, what about this name? I think it could be called this name. And you come out and say, well, we'll just stick with John. His name is John. Oh, well, he doesn't really look like a John, does he? Oh, well, what about after his dad? Why John? Or maybe you have a pastor like me who suggests, well, you know what? Philip is an excellent name when a boy has been born. And I can see you have been like Elizabeth, and you said, not so, not indeed. And you've all named these new boys that have just come into the congregation different names. And I understand, and rightly so, because whenever you choose that name, you come before God, you pray, and you have that name before the Lord. And the point I'm making is this. The Lord told them, the name is John. But family and friends and others came, no. We want to name him this name. No. His name is John. But. His name is John. The whole point I'm saying this, you have to, actually, well, let me go on before I go on to that part. After the mother, what did they do next? Verses 62 onwards. They then turn to the father because they think the mother's got this all wrong. And the father's going to overrule the mother in this point. And of course, we know at this stage, Zacharias, he's not able to speak. And so they go to him and he asks for this paper or this the writing table. And he wrote, his name is John. And they all marveled. And the whole point I'm making is this. You have to raise your children according to the Bible, according to the Word of God. Bring them to church. You may have family and friends. And I've been there as well. But they don't really need to go to church. Why can't they just miss church and come with me to the swimmers? Or let's take them out somewhere else. And like Elizabeth, you must be obedient. Even friends, even family. Because you're the one responsible for your child. You've been favored by the Lord. You've been gifted by the Lord. You've been charged by the Lord for this life. And therefore, you have family, you have friends that may come and try to steer you away from raising your children in the ways of the Lord. Well, you have to say, like Elizabeth, not so. Because you've been given this word from the Lord, what you are to do. Obedience always brings blessing. And we learn that from the Bible. Even as the Israelites march around Jericho for 1 week, and the walls came down by faith because they obeyed the Lord. Gideon's 300 men, they defeated the massive army of the Midianites because they followed God's instruction. And therefore, dear mother, what an example you can be to your child or to your children in obeying the word of God, even when family and friends would have you disobey. Don't give in. Don't compromise. Rather, show them how much God's word and God's way means to you. Let your children see and know that you read the Bible and pray, and they will follow that example. Let them know the value of prayer and the importance of the Lord's day to be in God's house. Not just the importance, and I realize this, not just the importance of being in God's house, rather, the importance of the Lord's day. You teach your children the importance of the Lord's day, then they will be at God's house. But if you don't teach them the importance of the Lord's day and only the importance of being at God's house, then they treat God's house like they do with anything else. I can come 1 week, not matter from there the week after. Actually, I can miss church and go swimming. I can miss church and go to the restaurant, not matter. I can go next week. Because all you've done is taught them, be at church, be at church, be at church. But when you teach them, here's the Lord's day, a day that's given to Him, a day that belongs to Him, a day that's to honor Him, and you honor Him by being at His house. You go to His house because He calls you to be there. Teach them the importance of these things. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Will you, by faith in Christ, enter into gospel blessings and inherit gospel promises? Dear mother, today you've been favored. You've been gifted by the Lord. And there is that acknowledgement of life in the womb. Therefore, raise that life God has given you in the ways of the Lord. Show from Elizabeth's example how she acknowledged the Lord, blessing her with a child. That the babe that I have in the womb is precious life from the Lord. This baby jumped. And then to raise that child, even when others would say to go down a different road, not so. His name shall be called John. I will raise him in the ways of the Lord. I trust today that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no parent that's perfect. We all make mistakes. And therefore every day we come before the Lord and ask him for his grace and for his help.